1 week ago, last Saturday, we celebrated St. Joseph the Worker. We reflected on not only the work of carpentry, but the bigger work of building the kingdom, of cooperating with God's work in many ways. And there's a lot of work to be done, as we know it. And then, right after that feast of St. Joseph the Worker, we turned to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, the chapter about the vine and the branches. And all week we have been reflecting on John chapter 15, what it means to be branches on the vine. So all that about being pruned and about bearing fruit and about love and the commandments and joy. It's a very rich section of the Gospel. And we're going to go back to it tomorrow. If you've looked ahead to tomorrow's readings, you know, tomorrow's Gospel is John chapter 15. The same readings we had on Thursday and Friday, we'll hear again tomorrow about the commandment of love, bearing the fruit of love. And a lot of that is very appealing to us. I mean, we want the love of God to flow through us. We want to be branches on the vine. We want to bear much fruit. We're made for that. Even if we have to put up with some pruning, it makes sense to us to be branches on the vine. Today's Gospel, though, brings us to another dimension of being branches on the vine. That is, what the vine experiences, the branches will also experience. So if the vine is hated, or if the vine is persecuted, so will the branches be hated and persecuted. Jesus is quite straightforward about this. This is the way it's going to be. If you're going to remain in me, if you're going to remain in my love, follow my commandments, then the world will hate you, because the world has hated me before you. You can think of this as, remember, this is Jesus speaking at the Last Supper, so it's his last chance to give some wisdom to his followers. You can think of it as something like fatherly advice, the way a father would prepare his son to face the difficulties of life. Maybe Joseph said something like this to Jesus. He probably did, because any good father says to his son, look, you're not going to be loved by everybody. Don't try to please everybody. That's good fatherly advice. Don't live for popularity. Be true. Keep your integrity, and don't let the hardships of being hated stop you from being a good man. So I'm just imagining that Jesus heard that sort of advice from his father, St. Joseph, and here he is giving it in an even more profound way to his disciples. To reflect on this, we can think a little bit about what it means to be loved by the world, because Jesus sets up this contrast. If you belonged to the world would love its own, meaning it would love you. But since you don't belong to the world hates you. And now he's been talking throughout chapter 15 about the love of God. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Love one another as I love you. He's talking about love the whole time. Now he's talking about the love of the world, which is quite a different thing. It's not the same thing from a different source. It's a completely different thing. If you think about it, you'll realize it. The love of the world is not a stable foundation. It's a fickle, unpredictable, ephemeral love. You think of popularity or celebrity, fame. It rises and falls very fast. And it's quite rare for someone to be loved by the world for a long time. That's actually the exception. Usually people are loved by the world for a little while, when they have a hit song or they win the game or something, and then all of a sudden they're the popular star of the day. 3 weeks later, you never hear about that person again, unless he has another a championship game or another hit song or a popular movie or something. So the rare case is the celebrity who's able to keep this up and can maintain the love of the world. I don't know if I could come up with examples, maybe Fernando Poe Jr. or someone like that. I mean, he remained popular for a long, long time. But most people don't. In fact, even when someone is very popular, if they make a wrong move, or if they lose a game, a big championship game, their popularity plummets. I've been watching the celebrity status of Pacquiao. A couple of years ago, Pacquiao was the king of the Philippines. I mean, he was the most popular Filipino. He was a household name. Everybody knew he was the greatest Filipino that ever lived. That's how people talked about him. I don't hear people talking about him like that now. I mean, maybe. But he seems to have tried to translate his popularity as a boxer into a political career with I don't know, more or less success, but it's not the same. If someone said, who's the most popular Filipino right now? I don't know if they would say Pacquiao. I don't know who it is. Who's the most popular Filipino? Not Bobby Duterte. The most popular, the household name, the celebrity that would be known on the world stage. My point is, the love of the world is not a solid foundation to build your life on. You might be popular today, you won't be tomorrow. So don't bother trying to establish your identity by what the world thinks of you. I remember a few years ago hearing a talk by a priest. He was making this point, and he started out by talking about the singer Madonna. You know Madonna. So 30 years ago, Madonna was the celebrity of the world. Famous and beautiful and sexy and popular and I don't know what. Well, now she's an old lady. I mean, she's in 55 or something, and she's still prancing around the stage and people are saying, well, you know, she's past her prime. I mean, why doesn't she just retire? But she's still performing. Well, anyway, this priest made the point that Madonna was replaced by Lady Gaga. And Lady Gaga, a few years ago, was the celebrity of the world. And every week or two, she put something else weird in her hair, and everybody put her on the front page, and that's how she was loved by the world. Well, after a while, she can't think of any more things to do to get people's attention, I guess. And maybe she's still popular, but after a while, the world is looking for some other novelty to follow around, and so Lady Gaga's popularity starts to decline. Then along comes Miley Cyrus, and she's prancing around in her, you know, I don't know, not wearing anything. And she becomes the notorious celebrity of the day, and maybe she still is, I don't know. I don't follow this world that closely, but this priest was saying, if you're still following Madonna, you're two generations behind. And maybe by this time, Miley has already gone down and somebody else has come along. That's worldly, that's the love of the world. And in fact, because of the social media, celebrity can plummet very fast. Say one wrong word, say one wrong thing about an unpopular political position and you're canceled. The cancel culture. Okay, maybe I've speak too long about that, but Jesus is saying, as a follower, as a disciple of him, as a branch on the vine, you're going to be hated by the world. That's part of the package. The temptation can arise to say, for this moment, I will set aside or be silent about my faith in Jesus Christ so that I won't be rejected. That comes up a lot in social situations. Oh, I won't say what I really believe because it will be unpopular. Don't do that. Because you might be popular at the party or for a moment, that it won't last anyway, and then you'll also be cut off from the vine. Better to accept right now that you're going to be hated by the world. Just accept it. That's part of it. And remain on the vine so that you bear fruit. Otherwise, we end up with nothing, because we don't end up with the fruit that we're made to bear, and we don't end up with the love of the world either. As I say, not many people remain loved by the world for very long. Even the most popular are hated eventually, or forgotten. Now, let's reflect a little bit on the experience of the early Christians. Today's first reading takes us back to the, I think this is the second missionary journey of Paul. One thing about being a branch on the vine is that we do not determine for ourselves everything that we do. The vine determines it. And sometimes we don't know what the vine's idea is about how this branch will grow. Part of being a disciple is that we are not the master. We don't decide everything about how our life goes. And again, this is simply part of reality. The illusion that we can decide for ourselves everything has to be shattered eventually. Even celebrities have to put up with this. I mean, they think they're popular. They still have a contract. The studio still has a demand on them. They still have to come up with another album or another movie, or they have to play another game. They're not their own. They don't belong to themselves. They belong to their managers and the business world that's making money off of them. That's part of it. And those who rebel against that, eventually they lose their contract and they don't get advertised. Well, anyway, this is true of everybody, whether we're in the world or in the church. And the description of Paul in this reading makes this clearer than ever. This is probably one of the best descriptions of being led by the Spirit in the whole Bible. Paul is not simply going wherever he wants. He goes where he's led. And he can't go, or he won't go, where the Spirit prevents him. So it says here that he had been planning to go into the province of Asia, Roman province of Asia, and they were prevented by the Holy Spirit. We don't know what that means in practice. Maybe there was a storm, or maybe there was a threat. Maybe they got sick. I mean, who knows? But something prevented them from doing what they thought they could do. So instead, they went to Mysia. They tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. What did he do? Send a typhoon? I mean, it wasn't simply a miraculous phenomenon. Probably something in nature or in the circumstances made it clear to them that this is not the will of God. So they didn't do that. They went instead to Troas. And then Paul gets this vision indicating what God wants is for them to go over to Macedonia, into Europe, Greece. And so that's what they did, concluding that God had called them to proclaim the good news there. The point being, branches get their life from the vine. Christians, we get our life from God. We get our direction from the Holy Spirit, the love of God flowing through us. That's how we're going to bear fruit. If we're trying to do something on our own, we won't bear fruit. It might look like we do for a moment, but we don't bear fruit. Fruit comes from the life of God flowing through us. So it makes the Christian life, on one hand, a humble following, and on the other hand, quite a exciting adventure. Because if it was only up to us, that would be pretty boring. We don't have a very wide vision of how to bear fruit. But God does, and he has an adventure for us if we're willing to submit ourselves to him, to the guidance of his spirit, and if we're willing to put up with persecution, the hatred of the world. Well, this is what we want. We want to bear fruit. So let us allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit.